The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today, I have the pleasure of having Dr. Jen Shaw on. She's a doctor of physical therapy, host of the podcast Natural Wellness Tips, acro yogi extraordinaire, and does all of that while helping women live their healthiest, happiest lives. So Jen, welcome to The Health Fix Podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me, Janine.
My goodness. So I was kind of stalking a little bit on Instagram, and I wanted to chat about acro yoga for a minute because you have these impressive videos. So folks, we're going to have to give you that link because you got to see Jen rocking it, doing some acro yoga. So how did you get into this?
Yeah, absolutely. You guys can head over to Natural Wellness Tips, you know, while you're listening to the podcast. We won't mind if you want to check out some of those videos. But yeah, it's kind of a little bit of a long story. I'm going to make it shorter for you, but I was a professional cheerleader for about 8 years. I worked for National Cheerleading Association. I ran camps and competitions all over the country. And, it was a really fun transition from, you know, high school through adult life. I did that through college and graduate school. And about 6 months after I finished up my professional cheerleading career and moved out to California to finish my degree and begin my career as a physical therapist, I was actually hit by a car. I was riding a bike and I suffered a spinal cord injury, brainstem injury, and kind of all the other back injuries. I like to call it because people are like, oh, I have a bad back. And I'm like, oh, I can top you. And I was in chronic pain for about 5.5 years. At the very beginning of that, 8 months worth, I did pain pills. I took about 30 pills a day. I was completely disabled, in a really bad place in my life. And I was told I'd be that way forever. And one thing that you can always do to get a type A New Yorker to change path is tell them they can't do something. And I was told that I would never be able to get off the pain pills. So what did I do? I got off the pain pills and I never took them again. And I just lived in pain. And I went down this road of living a natural life and got into all kinds of natural alternatives. One of them being essential oils, which I know we'll chat about for sure. And the other being yoga. I really dove deep into my yoga practice because I remember feeling like I couldn't move. I was so tight. I was inflexible and I'd lost all this mobility I had. And we can dive into my yoga experience more in the podcast, but what I've gone through this journey over the last 10 plus years of healing my body. And in the last year, I was really introduced to acrobatic yoga, acro yoga, it's partner yoga. So if you've ever seen the yoga where it's two people and, you know, oftentimes we're doing movements on their feet or their hands. And I was introduced to this and I found it so fascinating. And I loved that it brought back so many of the elements of cheerleading for me. I loved the stunting and the adrenaline rush of it. And the other thing that I absolutely love about acro yoga that I loved about cheerleading as well is the communication. You don't have the capacity to talk as much. It's like kind of cued through physical movements and little like verbal cues, and the same in cheerleading. Like it's kind of fast and it's got to be communicated on that physical level, on the emotional level, on the verbal level. Like there's such a deeper layer of communication that's needed and connection that you get with your partner when you're doing these things. And it's also a huge level of trust. So it's been so fun for me to dive into this hobby of acrobatic yoga and acro yoga and just really explore the limits of my physical body and as well expand my communication. So it's been a blast. I hope you guys enjoy the videos.
Yeah, you guys got to check them out. Like seriously, it's a great aside. You have full permission from both of us to wander over to Instagram and take a look at the videos. Cause I think I replayed her most recent one at least 5 times. Cause I was like, that is so awesome. But I think what we really want you guys to kind of think about is like, holy cow, spinal injury, big accident. And then going from that to be able to do acro yoga. Oh my gosh. You know, you were talking about communication. What a great way for the body and mind to reconnect. I mean, yoga alone, but acro yoga. Tell us a little bit more about your pathway with the yoga and how things were when you first got started compared to now. Did you notice ways that your body was connecting in little tiny tidbits of, oh my gosh, I'm coming back?
Such a good question. Yeah. And especially when you have a central nervous system injury. And to be clear, I was never paralyzed. I have what we call a central spinal cord injury. So I never lost physical movement. I had neurological pain. So very different than a traditional spinal cord injury that people are used to, right? But you lose this connection of the physical and the emotional body, and it's just almost like your body kind of numbs itself to survive. And I remember, you know, kind of just living in this really high level of pain and not being able to do much. And I went from being so fit and so connected to my body to just kind of having this like out of body experience of like, who am I and what is the shell that I'm living in? And my friend had just finished teacher training to become a yoga teacher. And she kept asking me to come to her first class. And I looked at her finally and was like, I don't think you understand. I can't move. And she said, that's exactly why you need to go to yoga. And I gave in. I remember kind of feeling super self-conscious about it and putting myself in the back corner of the room and trying my best to follow along with class. And we got to this point where we did a forward fold. And I remember just hanging there and feeling this relief, like this, my body just relaxed. And I relaxed emotionally. I relaxed physically. And I just was like, oh my God, I'm home again. This feels so good. And it was from that point on that I made yoga a really pretty much daily practice for myself. I've had, you know, ebbs and flows through different things of my life, but I've slowly gained progression in that. And then now I teach, you know, at the studio I teach at here in San Diego, I teach the most advanced class. And my students are always like, I'm never going to be able to do what you do. And I don't care where I am in class. I pause and I tell about 30 seconds of my story. And I'm like, so if I can press up to a handstand, you can too. The only difference between you and I is I've tried to do it 1,000 times and you haven't. Right? And that's what yoga taught me, was it's about showing up. It's not about how cool you look on Instagram. Yeah, I have some cool things on Instagram, I know, but it's like, it's not about that. It's about how I feel on my mat. And my mat's rolled out at all times in my living room. It's about getting on that mat every day and just moving my body and having that connection and having that breath flowing through my body. And then for me, I have the honor to get to now teach others that through my yoga teaching. And it's a beautiful way of life.
I love it. I love it. I love that you have your yoga mat out all of the time and you're talking about showing up, because your mind's going to see that mat and it's going to be like, oh yeah, this is what I do. This is part of me. And one of the things that you and I had chatted about wanting to talk about today was how the key to our health is our habits, and showing up for yourself is definitely number one habit in my book. Making sure that you show up to like basically rock the day is one of mine, but yoga being one of yours. Let's talk a little bit about what other habits were really key to helping restore your health and maintain your health now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your habits will make you or break you. And it's your choice what you allow them to be, right? And when we think about changing our health, I think the largest mistake I see my clients make is they are like, I want to lose weight. So I joined the gym. I'm going to go 7 days a week for 13 hours a day. I'm going to only eat like broccoli. And, you know, that's like, this is my life now. I'm getting fit. And I'm like, and I'm obviously being a little sarcastic and extreme in that situation, because no one can eat for 13 hours. But you get the point. It's like they try. They're like, I'm going to revamp everything. So I'm going to get healthy. And what happens when we approach health in that all or nothing manner is that it's not sustainable. We aren't going to stick with it. We won't continue with that level of focus, because it's just not possible, right? So one of the things that I always teach my clients is it's about slowly changing one habit at a time in a consistent fashion so that it sticks. And I always start with 3 key habits. We have taught ourselves to not trust ourselves. We have told ourselves so many times that we are going to lose weight, work out more consistently, eat healthier, go to bed earlier, you name it, we've told ourselves, and we don't follow through. So what does our subconscious brain say when we're like, we're going to do XYZ, it laughs at you and says, that's cute. You're not going to. You maybe do it for like a week, but that's about it. That's your track record. Right. So we have to reteach our subconscious that we mean business, that when I say I'm going to make a change, I'm going to make that change. And we do that by picking one habit at a time and integrating it. So I always say that you need to start with these three habits. And from here, you can expand. But if you want to really change your health, the first three things you need to do are make sure that you're drinking enough water. You need to drink half your body weight in ounces or more. And if you're drinking caffeine, if you're drinking alcohol, if you're sweating, you need to increase that number. So you really need to be really clear on how much water you're drinking. And, you know, preferably a higher quality water, an alkaline water, spring water, something of that nature is going to be best. But trying to avoid the, you know, toxic tap waters that many of us have in our communities. But making sure that you're consuming that water. So maybe that's the first goal you start with. You're like, half my body weight in ounces. Okay, let me do the math. I never hit that. So then you're going to start by saying, I'm going to do that 3 days a week. And then you get consistent with it 3 days a week. And then you say, I'm going to do that 5 days a week. And then you get consistent with it 5 days a week. Then you say, I'm going to do it 7 days a week. Because if you come in never doing it and saying you're going to do it 7 days a week, you're setting yourself up for failure. So start small, chip away at it, gain some consistency. You'll start to notice that the days you drink water, you feel better than the days you don't. And your subconscious is going to say, hey, let's grab that water bottle and drink more. It's going to become easier for you. So doing it in that slow and steady fashion, water is one of the first habits that I definitely work with on people. The second is sleep. You need to get 8 hours of sleep. I don't care who you are. There's seasons in life where this isn't going to work. You have a newborn at home. Yeah, you get it. You get a get out of jail free card here. You're not going to get 8 hours of straight sleep. It's just not possible, right? But you want to work towards getting that 7 to 9 hours of sleep every single night. And the way to do it is to really manage your schedule. And that's something I spend a lot of time with my clients on, but you have to get really clear about what your limits are around your sleep and when you're going to be doing things. But looking at when you need to wake up and reverse engineering when you're going to go to bed. Right? So if you have to get up at 6, you need to be in bed by 9:30. So you're asleep by 10, right? You have to look at that and see what's happening there. There's so much that happens when we sleep, healing of our gut, our emotional health, just healing of our physical body. It's so imperative. If we don't sleep, we're never going to lose weight. Like, we need to sleep. Sleep is so key. So making sure you're getting that sleep. Again, if you're getting, you know, never getting 8 hours of sleep, don't go and say you're going to do it 7 days a week. Say you're going to do it 2 to 3 days a week and then get good at it and then increase it to the point where I get 6 to 7 days a week, I get 8 hours of sleep or more. I'll make an exception every once in a while for like a game night with friends or, well, you know, things like that, right? When we're allowed to see our friends.
Right. Right.
and then the third is eating. Now, I am not a huge, I don't love all the diets that are out there and things. I'll always hear this. Well, I've done XYZ diet and it worked for me. Well, then why are you coming to me to lose weight again? Well, I gained the weight back. Well, did the diet work for you or not? Because you put the weight back on, right? So the diet only works when you're fully engaged in the diet. And that's why it's called a diet. We need to create a lifestyle that's sustainable of the physical health that you want to accomplish. So research out of the Salk Institute here in La Jolla shows that there's many, many, many benefits to eating in a 10-hour window. This includes like reduction in chronic disease, improved emotional health, physical health, weight loss, improved energy. And now what that looks like, so let's keep our same model going. We need to get up at 6 a.m. So we need to be in bed by 9:30 so we can fall asleep by 10. So we're going to stop eating at maybe, let's say, 7 or 6. We can say 6, right? So we'll stop eating at 6. And that means we start eating in the morning at 9. So you get up at 6. You don't eat anything other than like a, you know, black coffee or a tea or anything, no calories, until 9. And then you eat all of your calories within that window, eat dinner before 6, go to bed at 9:30, and you wake up and do it again. And what you're doing is you're optimizing your routine to help put your circadian rhythm in check, to help your digestive system have a predictable schedule of when it's going to be working and when it's going to have time off. And all of these things help to optimize our health. And there's different things that I help my clients with, like putting essential oils in their water to help them kind of curb their appetite, using essential oils and creating a relaxing environment in their bedroom before they go to bed so they can go to sleep, even though they're not used to really going to sleep that early, right? So there's a lot of things that you can do with it, but it's just about starting small and with consistency.
I love it. It's much like a exercise prescription to build your strength of that particular habit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I love it. I love it. I am a huge fan of obviously all three of those things, but in particular, yeah, I hate the word diet. I mean, it is ridiculous, but I do find that exactly like you're mentioning with the 10-hour window of eating, it seems to be so much better for, yes, weight maintenance, but also like not having so much gas, bloating, gut issues. There's a lot of really cool research on small intestine bowel overgrowth, so SIBO, for those of you who are familiar with what that is, and that 10-hour window really helping to keep those gut bugs in check too. So Jen is on to some stuff here. It's good stuff.
Yes, yes, yes. And so, I mean, I'm a big believer. I have a research doctorate, right? So I'm not kind of a, like, let's find the newest headline and chase it. I'm really about like looking at what truly supports the physical body and what my clients see results with, right?
Absolutely.
That's the key. We want these things that are going to stick.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I mean, you hit it right on it, is that people are like, literally like all in and everything changing at once. And it's like, when I hear that, I'm like, oh God, here it goes. It's just, oh, it's chaos. So just creating those habits, you know, that really you can work with and stick with, it, just huge. Now, I want to talk a little bit about essential oils, because you were talking about how you're using them to help with folks with sleep and helping with digestion. It's almost like essential oils are a little bit of a super booster to helping folks with their habit formation. So tell us a little bit about that in terms of taking all three of your key habits and interjecting a little essential oils in each one of those areas.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. So I do agree with you. They're kind of just like, they supercharge the things we're working on. And having essential oils on hand, there's a lot that goes into the idea of the limbic system and when certain aromas and behaviors can cause chain reactions, right? If we have a certain scent that we use each night when we go to sleep, our body kind of, it's all about routine. Our body kind of clicks in and says, oh, we're diffusing that now. It's time for bed. Like I have a whole evening routine that I do by writing my list of what I'm doing the next day, shutting off my computer, turning off the lights. I go into my bedroom, I turn my diffuser on, and I love grabbing essential oils like Serenity. So I specifically use doTERRA essential oils. There's a lot of different essential oils on the market. doTERRA has proven time and time again to be the highest quality and the safest on the market. And that will, when I'm recommending oils, I'm definitely only talking about doTERRA. But Serenity is one of their blends. It's a restful sleep blend, and Breathe, their respiratory blend, which right now in this day and age, keeping our respiratory system healthy is so important. So diffusing the two of those while you sleep can help to open your airways, help you get a more restful night's sleep. And again, just having that as something that is going each evening when you go to bed is this trigger to your brain saying, oh, Jen, it's, you know, it's bedtime. It's time to start winding down. It's time to start relaxing. And then from there, once I set up my room, I go and I take my shower and, you know, do my whole nighttime routine, go in my room, read my book. And within like usually 5 minutes of reading my book, I'm tired, even if I want to read more, because my body knows that routine. So using the oils in that way can really help with that nighttime, getting that sleep and help you stay asleep. With the drinking your water, using essential oils that are like citrus essential oils in your water, always drinking out of a glass or a stainless steel water bottle. But adding, you know, a drop for every 10 to 12 ounces of water. So I love lemon or lime. An oil called Slim and Sassy is great if you're really battling with the hunger cravings and things like that, right? So adding those to your water and drinking them can really help. There's also, you know, thinking about how these habits intertwine with one another, drinking 10 to 16 ounces of water before you eat, about 20 minutes before, can speed up your metabolism by up to 60%. It can help you feel more satiated, so you're eating the right amount and not just kind of eating till you feel full, which is always past when you are full. So utilizing the oils throughout the day in that kind of routine is going to help to establish these habits with more success.
I love that. I love that. Now, I want to go a couple different things, because I want to know what's in Slim and Sassy, because that is the coolest name ever. So let's start there. What is in the Slim and Sassy oil for, like, combination?
So Slim and Sassy is a whole line.
Okay.
There's different products. There's an essential oil, there's soft gels, there's shakes and things. But the oil itself is grapefruit, lemon, peppermint, ginger, and cinnamon. So it's really designed to promote a healthy metabolism. That's why if you drink that with some water about 20, 30 minutes before you eat, it's really helpful. It helps manage hunger cravings when you drink that with water. So if you're kind of a snacker at like 2 p.m., drink some Slim and Sassy around that time. And it's a diuretic, it's a stimulant, it's calorie-free, it's all natural. And it kind of tastes good too. It can get, some people think it's a little rough, the taste. So if you don't like the taste, it comes in the soft gel form. So you can just kind of take it with some water instead of having to drink it. But yeah, it's an awesome essential oil. When I was trying to lose weight after my accident, it was something that really helped me manage my metabolism and kind of get it back into gear. So something a lot of my clients use for sure.
I like it. I mean, yeah, it's a different combo, but I can see how it'd be useful, because I think there's a lot of people out there using the bubbly waters and using those flavored, I mean, they're flavored, but they're not real flavors, and really causing themselves some gut issues and some food sensitivities as well. You know, in terms of, I believe that a lot of the commercial canned bubbly waters have a lot of issues in addition to BPA on the lining, but also just the carbonation is hard on the gut. So I love it that we can flavor water with essential oils instead of having to go towards these commercial products.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I always tell my clients. I try to do. And I'm like, I love the bubbly water, like here and there. It is a nice refreshing thing, but I try not to drink it much because of all of the things you said. And instead what I do is I'm constantly adding, like, by my water cooler in my kitchen, there's lime, there's grapefruit, there's lemon. It's like, you can be like, ooh, what do I feel like drinking?
It's like your own little flavor bar. I love it. Yes. I have those at my house. I do not have that, or at my office too. We'll have to think about that once this whole COVID thing blows over for trying some stuff out. Now, let's talk about your sleep ritual a little bit, because I find that most people want to fight me on this one. They're like, no, I need to watch my TV shows right up until I go to bed. And I need more folks to help me out with, like, no, really, really, it works. Please, please tell us, like, you kind of gave us, like, a quick rundown of your rituals. What are you telling for, you know, folks in terms of what time should they be cutting off the screen time? And should they be using, like, lamps that are lower light? Kind of what's your spiel for folks for evening rituals?
Yes, yeah, it's an ongoing battle, because people are so set in what works for them and their unwinding routine and things like that. One of the things I always like to remind my clients is what you consume in your mind, the thoughts that you have in your mind right before you go to bed are what are going to be playing in your mind for the rest of the night in your subconscious. And oftentimes what we are reading, or not reading necessarily, but like watching on the TV, scrolling through on our social media and things like that, they're not positive, right?
Yeah.
They're really negative things. So I recommend having an uplifting book that is by your bed, something that isn't going to have your attention so much that you're like, I need to find out if they fall back in love. Like, you know, just have it be something lighthearted and easy to read. But really having set aside the time. So for instance, I like to be in bed by 10. So I go ahead and start my nighttime routine around 8:30. And if I have to by nine, like at nine, that's okay, but it's rushed for me then. And I really, at that point, try to have the phone put away. The computers are definitely off. I don't own a TV, so that's really simple for me. and it's not because I can't have a TV. My family always tries to give me TVs, and I'm like, no, thank you. I just don't want a TV. So I try to have the screens off, and I try to turn off all the large lights. I have a smaller light, you know, a softer light by my bedside that I turn on. And in that point, you know, if you're listening to music, it needs to be calmer music. The diffuser needs to be on. And for me, one of the things I always try to get my clients to do when they struggle with this idea of like screen time before bed is I challenge them to shower or take a bath before they get into their bed. And oftentimes people don't, which if you don't, I'm very sorry, but I'm judging. I am. I know a lot of people don't, but here's the thing is your day is on you. Your day is on you emotionally. Your day is on you physically, and you're crawling into your sheets, right? And everything you bring into that bed stays in that bed. If you share that bed with somebody, you're sharing all of that energy with them and you know, the physical and the emotional. So take time at the end of the day to just take a 5-minute shower if you can, and imagine the day getting washed off of you physically and emotionally, letting it go, saying thank you for the day. Like I'm done with all of this. I'm releasing it. Right. And get in the routine of doing that. Brush your teeth, wash your face, take your shower. You don't have to wash your hair at night or anything. If that's not your jam, like figure out what works for you, but rinse off. And then from there, put your pajamas on, go into bed and grab your book. And that's going to help you break that habit of I must be glued to the television. And it's also hygienically a much better choice. And it's going to give you a little bit more semblance of a routine. Once you start that routine, it's going to be a little addicting. So it's good stuff. It always helps my clients.
I love it. I love it for sure. No, that's kind of how I like to roll. I do think it's kind of weird to go to bed, as I call it, dirty. Oh, it's terrible. I guess I judge too. Oh, but anyway, point being is I think I love your analogy there in terms of washing the day off of you, because yeah, some days are really like ick. You just want to get it out, get it done. And water is such a great way, you know, even as a metaphor, washing, whatever the word is that goes with that. I wasn't an English major. So there you have it. But it's just washing away the ick. I love it.
That sounds scientific to me. Washing away the ick. I like it.
I'm very deep some days.
No, it's great. No one will forget it.
Yikes. So let's talk a little bit about your website. You have some great resources on there, and you have a blog, and you have a podcast as well. So let's talk website. Let's talk podcast. Let's talk about all of your natural wellness tips that you are sharing with the universe. So tell us a little bit about why you decided to start your podcast, The Natural Wellness Tips.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything I've done with providing these resources for people has all been about my personal journey and like things I've wanted to learn, things I've wanted to know. Oftentimes a podcast, I guess I have my podcast has a topic they're speaking about that I find fascinating. A blog I write is something that I find interesting and I want to do more research on. So I'm kind of just sharing. I always get this from people that meet me is they always say, I already feel like I know so much about you. because of my podcast and my blog. And what it really comes down to is I'm showing you my journey through life. I'm showing you what I'm learning, what I'm doing, how I'm healing physically and emotionally, right? Because we are always on this journey and we have, you know, two choices. Do we push our emotions and our physical issues down and ignore them, or do we heal them and do we work through them and do we seek support and community through them, right? So everything I create is really just a journey through what I've been through. You'll hear me speak of things like my divorce and what that was like for me, like my process with deciding to really clean up my diet and how I've gone and cut out gluten, cut out dairy. Now I've cut out most meat and, you know, cutting out alcohol. It was a big thing for me. And I wasn't an alcoholic at all. I was never an alcoholic, but I just decided that, well, alcohol wasn't something I wanted in my life anymore. So you can hear podcasts on that. But really, my goal in all of this is to help you feel that you are not alone, that everyone has struggles. And, you know, you can look at my Instagram and a lot of it's beautiful, but if you read the captions too, a lot of it's going deep into like what I'm going through and stuff and really being vulnerable with that. And if you dive into my podcast, you'll learn more about that. And really it's like about this fact that like, we are really not in this alone. We are all in this together and we're here to support each other. And no matter where you are on the journey to living a natural, healthy lifestyle, it's one bite-sized piece at a time. And that's what I try to do in my podcast. That's what I try to do in my blog. And I've been podcasting for about a year and a half now. And my blog has, you know, over like 4 or 5 years of content in it. It's broken down into different sections like healthy family, healthy habits, healthy home, healthy diet and fitness. You can also search by specific essential oils. There's some great info in there and it's all about helping you live your happiest, healthiest life.
That is well said. I mean, I love it. You are very much like me on the task of trying to help others every day. And one of the things that you had mentioned when we were chatting before we started recording is that you're wanting to help folks understand essential oils and how to use them a little bit better, and that you're offering a call, one-on-one call with folks. Will you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you currently are not using essential oils, or doTERRA essential oils, shall I say, so you don't have a doTERRA essential oils in your home, and you are looking to possibly incorporate them in your home, I want to offer this to you, 30 minutes of my time to hop on the phone, find out more about your health goals, challenges, what you might use essential oils for, teach you more about them, and see if it's a good fit to add to your home. I always share with everybody I speak with that I can help you get, you know, set up so that you can cover 85% of the things that come across you at home. You know, you guys, we have things that we are always going to deal with. People are going to, you know, become ill, get fevers, you know, not feel their best, and having tools to support your body through those processes is so powerful. So again, if you currently don't have doTERRA essential oils and you want to learn more about them, we'll definitely put the link down below for you guys, right? We'll put it in the description for them. Does that sound good, Janine?
Yeah, it will. Absolutely. It'll be in the podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com or thehealthfixpodcast.com. So you guys can take a look and have a chat with Jen. She's a wealth of information. And speaking of that information, and yes, we are recording this right now while we are in the midst of social isolation and COVID and all of that. And I really wanted to talk a little bit about some essential oils before we hang up that are really great for folks that might be experiencing a little bit of anxiety around what's going on right now. So calming. Now, of course, we are not trying to diagnose, treat, or anything of that nature, but merely making a suggestion with essential oils to help folks to feel a little bit more calm and chill based on what's going on. What would you, if you had to like give us maybe 3 oils for chill and calm for folks, what would you say?
Absolutely. Okay. So, one of the things that I want to talk about is how we're going to use those oils, and I'll tell you which ones you're going to grab. According to the American Institute of Stress, the number one stress reducer is to breathe. Mm-hmm. So I teach everyone to do the 4x4x4x4 breath. So what that means is you inhale through your nose for 4 seconds. You hold your breath for 4 seconds. You exhale through your nose for 4 seconds. You hold your breath for 4 seconds. And you repeat that breath for anywhere for 1 minute to 5, 10 minutes, whatever you need. But that's one of the best ways to reduce our anxious feelings, our stress, our overwhelm. Now, coupling that with an essential oil, you get like the double punch and you get that real, like a lot of support in releasing that anxious and overwhelm. So grabbing your floral essential oils is very comforting. It's kind of like a hug in a bottle. So grabbing something like your lavender is going to be really good for that. Now, your citrus oils are really uplifting. Think about how they grow. They grow up high in trees and sunny environments. So if you're feeling really low and you need a pick-me-up, you need something to help you come out of those really dark, deep feelings, then you're going to grab a citrus oil. So something like a wild orange or a lemon, you're going to put a drop in your hand. You're going to do that 4x4x4x4 breath with that oil in your hand. Or pop it in your diffuser and do that breathing right next to your diffuser, right? And then we have more of our earthy oils, like our root and tree oils. Something like frankincense is really grounding. And that's going to be really good if you're feeling like all over the place, like you're anxious, you're sad, you're overwhelmed. You're like, I don't know what's happening. Like, I feel like I'm pulled in every direction. I can't get my feet on the ground. You're going to grab something like a frankincense oil, like a grounding earthy oil.
Nice. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Cause I think a lot of people at this point in time might just be like, I don't know what to do. And they might be bouncing all over the place. I know definitely a lot of my patients are in terms of like, should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know. It's like ping, 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 ping all over like a pinball. Now let's chat a little bit about essential oils that are great for the respiratory system. Now, full disclaimer, we are not saying that this is going to treat any virus, especially COVID. This is just something to help with keeping breathing nice and even in the house. It's a help for the respiratory system. So what would you say in terms of like, let's give your three favorite respiratory essential oils?
So in all times, we should be worrying about giving our body the support it needs so that it can do its job, right? So we kind of give our body backup through these plants, these essential oils. One of the best things you can do is utilize an essential oil like Breathe. Breathe is the respiratory blend, and I mentioned that I diffuse it each night when I sleep, but it's also really great to apply to your chest morning, noon, and night to just keep your respiratory system functioning well. I love using it before a workout. Take a drop, breathe it in, put some on your chest, and then you have that extra respiratory capacity for your workout. It's a really great option. Have you tried that one before?
No, I'm like, wow, I'm note to self right now.
I need some Breathe. It's amazing. But also something like On Guard. On Guard is our protective blend. It's going to help keep the immune system functioning optimally. It just kind of is the backup for our immune system. So taking a drop of On Guard in your coffee and your tea and a glass of water in the morning under your tongue, diffusing On Guard throughout the home to just help cleanse the air, just keep the air nice and clean and fresh. So that's a really great essential oil to just have on hand because – you know, we need to kind of combat what's coming at the respiratory system, right? And then a simple oil like peppermint is really opening to our airways. Taking a drop in your hands and taking a few deep breaths can really open up your airways. So just having those tools in your back pocket to help keep your body functioning optimally is really great.
Oh my gosh, yes. These are things that I actually, in my office, we have On Guard being diffused all the time, just all year round, just to help clean the air. And I like how it smells. And Breathe, too. We kind of rotate. My massage therapist in my office is a distributor for doTERRA, and so she's very into helping the office in this manner, and I love it. And folks really dig how they smell, and it's almost like some people have said they walk into our office and they're like, my brain, going back to the limbic system and helping you go to sleep, they're like, my brain already knows I'm here, and that means I get to chill, and now I'm starting to yawn. So It's perfect stuff. So Jen, we've talked about your website. We've talked about your podcast, Natural Wellness Tips. We've also talked about your acro yoga skills. Where is the best place for folks to interact with you? Is it your website, or would it be more in terms of Instagram for you?
Yeah, head over to Instagram for sure. That's going to be the place where I'm updating the most. I'm the most active. I respond to the fastest. So head over to Instagram, give me a follow, send me a message, let me know that you heard the podcast. You know, I'd love to connect with you. If you are having trouble finding the link to schedule a call with me, head over to Instagram, Natural Wellness Tips, and just say, hey, you heard me on the podcast and you want to set up a call. We'll get it scheduled right there. So I'd love to have you over there on my Instagram platform.
Excellent. So everybody, I'm going to put the link to Jen's Instagram in addition to her website so you can check her out, listen to her podcast as well. And we are going to be doing a podcast trade, so I'll be hanging out on her podcast a little bit later here. And hey, I am going to make sure that all this info is there at drjkrausnd.com or thehealthfixpodcast.com. So look out for that info. And please, like Jen said, follow her, check her out. She's got some amazing videos. You will not be disappointed. I totally don't have that cool stuff on my Instagram. So you guys will be way entertained there. And make sure if you, you know, like this podcast that you review it, give us a 5-star rating, give us a subscribe, and do the same for Jen at Natural Wellness Tips as well. Thank you guys. We appreciate it. Jen, thank you so much for jumping on today and chatting all about your story and oils and habits. This has been a great podcast. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been such an honor.
All right, folks, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.